So 2 weeks ago, we talked about gifts and miracles and decided we all have gifts. Well, at least I said we decided, and I hope you agreed with me, at least to some extent. And 1 week ago, we talked about why we have gifts, and we actually talked about what we're going to talk about today. And the sermon title is, What Else Could We Talk About on This Sunday? And What Else Could We Talk About But Love? Now, of course, we could talk about other things. There are other texts there that have tremendous value, but we're going to talk about love, not because it's something you've never heard about, not because it's something you know nothing about, because neither of those are true, but rather because it's something we all need to be reminded of over and over again. We just do. We're human beings. We forget things, even the things we really, really like, even the things we really, really believe, even the things we ourselves have said. So one of the many good things that we get out of following a regular calendar, the conventional calendar, whatever you want to call it, the non-church calendar, is that things pop up on a regular basis, at least yearly, that can remind us of things that we love, of people that we love. We have anniversaries. For those of us who are married or are in a significant relationship, who have long-term friendships or anything else, we can look at the day these things began or a day when a very significant thing happened. And it can remind us of all that goes into that. Anniversaries are the obvious one. Some people, even on special anniversaries, renew their vows, say the same things to their partner again that they said long ago or even last year, whatever it might be. Hadley and I have renewed our vows twice. Once at the obvious one on our 25th anniversary, and the other, in an odd sort of way, at least odd to a number of people, we renewed our vows at the memorial service for our first daughter. And we renewed our vows then to remind ourselves how much we loved each other and to remind ourselves that we were aware of how challenging the loss of a child, pregnancy loss, or any other kind of loss, how hard it can be on a relationship. One of the things that often happens when people lose a child is it takes a long time to work through that loss, to process the grief and all that comes with it. And what can happen to some people, to some couples, is that when they finally come out of that process, if they're not careful, they'll realize they went through it on their own. And they'll look at their partner and say, I don't even know you anymore, and you don't know me. And the divorce rates for people who lose a child, particularly an only child, a first child, are really, really high. And we said, we're not going to be those people because we love each other enough and God loves us enough that we will be able to make it through this. And we have. It's been more than 30 years now. Sometimes it seems hard to believe. I can barely believe I'm much more than 30 years old myself, but obviously I am. We have anniversaries. We have birthdays that remind us of the people we love. Hadley's birthday is in, well, it's tomorrow. Sam's birthday, our only granddaughter. Her birthday is on the 13th of January, so we even left up the happy birthday banner from Sam's birthday to Hadley's birthday. It's just one of the things. I don't even know when we started it, but for everybody's birthday, we have a happy birthday banner that we just stick up in one of the hallways. It makes us happy. It reminds us of birthdays, not that we're likely to forget. And then we tend to leave it up for a few days. And this time, and I think maybe even last year, we're leaving it up from one to the other, and it just connects those two events. It reminds us of how much we love these people, how connected we are. Because we can forget, at least act like we've forgotten, that we love people that we definitely love. Because I'm not talking about anniversaries we go, oh, I guess I have to say I love you again. A few weeks we're going to have Valentine's Day, which a lot of people also use as an opportunity to say I love you to people that matter to them through cards, gifts of one kind or another, special dinner, whatever it might be. And those are also lovely things to do, and they do remind us. But one of the things we need to be reminded of is how much we are loved, not just how much we love others. The feeling of not being loved, of being alone and, well, unloved is a hopeless kind of feeling. And we can fall into it. All of us can. All of us have challenges in remembering these sorts of things. But one of the things that we can do is revisit the whole notion of love and let it spill out into the larger picture, if you will, and that's what we're doing today. By reading one of the most familiar passages of Scripture, the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where Paul talks about what love is and how much more important it is than so many other things, we can start thinking again about love. And so we're going to talk about love. We have been talking about it, and we'll talk about it lots of other times, of course. But the thing I want us to focus on, or the things I want us to never forget, is the very last phrase. Because let's remember where this passage comes. It comes with Paul talking about gifts and miracles in chapter 12, and talks more about gifts in chapter 14, and stuck right in the middle is Paul saying, the greatest of these is love. Paul has talked about gifts and miracles and all kinds of things, and at the end of chapter 12 he says, now let me tell you a more excellent thing, or a more excellent way. And then he goes into, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels but do not have love, I'm no better than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And he goes on through all of these things, and he talks about what love isn't, or what is superior to love. And then he talks about what love is. It's patient, kind, not envious, not boastful, not arrogant or rude, and all of those things. And he gets down to the end, the very last verse of chapter 13, and he says, and now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. Those are wonderful things. Faith, without faith, how do we have this? How do we have this understanding of God and how much God loves us if we don't have faith? And if we don't have hope, how do we keep moving? And without love, we're alone. And of those three things, the greatest isn't faith. The greatest isn't even hope. The greatest is love. And it's not just our love for others that's the greatest, and it's not just their love for us. When we look through the whole of Scripture, we see all kinds of things we don't understand. We probably see some we don't even like. But what we see over and over and over again is God using the language of love to describe God's relationship with us. Covenant language is used in the Old Testament, to be sure, but over and over and over again. In the prophets, we see God talking about how much God loves us. God loves us so much in the Old Testament that God had Hosea do some very peculiar things in his married relationship to a woman who many people would have told him to just leave behind. God said, no, I want you to stay with her. I want you to have children with her, and all of these things as a symbol, as a slight shadow of how much I love the people of Israel, and by extension, all people. And we get into the New Testament, and we see more of the same. John 3:16, we see the reference in football games and all over the place. God so loved the world. Everything that happens in the incarnation comes because God, the three-person God, the triune God, Creator, Savior, and Spirit, all together, so loved the world that Jesus came. Not because of anything else, not because of any duty that we couldn't do, although there's hints of that. The impetus for all of this was love. I was talking to my brother a little while ago, and we were talking about, as best any humans can, about the infinite nature of God. And he said this. He said something that I may have shared with you already, I can't remember for sure, but he said, one of the wonderful things is that God is entirely present with me all the time. God's total focus is on me. But because of the mystery of the infinite nature of God, God's total focus is on you at the same time. We can't do that. We can only focus on one thing at a time. And if you have ADHD like I do, you can barely focus on one thing, let alone two. But God, in God's majesty and infinite nature, can focus on each of us with this lens of love all the time. God has always loved us. God has loved us since before we were born, since before we were conceived, since before the beginning of anything. God loves us. And not just us in the big mass of humanity. God loves you in your individual self, and me in my individual self. And not because of what we do, but simply because we are. And it's from that basis, when we can keep that clear and solid before us, that's when we can start exercising our gifts and doing the things that God has called us to. And we do it from a strong foundation of being loved. We exercise gifts because God loved us, poured God's love into us, and we can then pour it out into others. Not because of guilt, not because of fear. One of the most difficult things for me is to hear people speaking about a relationship with God is first and foremost from the perspective of fear. Fear of what happens after we die. That's not motivating to very many people, at least not very long. But being loved. Oh, being loved is a motivation that goes on and on and on. There are so many things I can do because I am loved and have been loved that would have been difficult, if not impossible, for me to do otherwise. All of us who have been in a long-term relationship, marriage, long-term friendships, none of those are because of fear. Because of love. It's because of what we can do for the other person and what they can do for us because they love us. And yes, our relationships are always tainted with the nature of being a fallen human person. But they still spring from love. The long-term successful relationships that we look at, that we look up to, are love relationships. They always are. What else could we talk about on this, the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, but love? When we have celebrated the coming of Jesus and Christmas, the preparation of the coming of Jesus in Advent, and now into Epiphany, and then we'll move on into Lent and Easter and the rest of the church year, we can talk about love every Sunday. We especially talk about love in these Sundays, and that's fine. This is the time to focus on it. And we focus on love, not just because of what we get out of it, although let's never forget what we get out of God's love for us, but because God's love for us allows us to love others, maybe even in a way that we couldn't do on our own. If you haven't heard it recently, and I hope you have, but if you haven't heard it recently, I want you to hear it today. You are loved. You are loved by the God of everything. You are loved by people around you. You are loved by the people in this community. And because of those things, you have the freedom to love others, knowing that you always have the foundation, the backstop of God's love. It doesn't mean that no bad things will ever happen. But it means that we can respond to the things in our life, not just through anger or fear or hate, not through a desire to get revenge, but we can respond to all that happens in our life with love, because we have been loved first and loved best. Amen.